The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If I had to describe my guest today in one word, that word would be versatile. You always hear about creative people described as triple threats. Well, Zora Bikangaga is more like a quintuple threat. Not only has he performed or written on shows like Drunk History, Raven's Home, and The Late Late Show with James Corden, this dude was featured on This American Life. He wrote, produced, and starred in his own pilot. He's a master of all forms of improv. He was on a sketch team at the Upright Citizens Brigade. And he is on the completely bonkers freestyle rap podcast Dope Town 3000. So why am I still yammering about? Let's go.
Pick it up.
Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope.
Breakfast.
This young lady just smashed the lids on all these cakes in the bakery section.
My guest today.
Oh, I'm going to need to hear all about that.
He adds character to my crew.
As you just said, you're not a prostitute.
What? Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope.
Great place to hang out and good food, too. I'm always playing blue collar guys.
Somebody screwed through the pipe.
I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilized the hydraulics.
Some salsa and some sour cream. Some guacamole.
Who doesn't love that? It's breakfast time. The only show where bacon, pancakes, Hollywood. I'm your host, Brent Pope.
So we've known each other for, gosh, about a decade now, probably, right?
Yeah.
Doing comedy in various forms, whether it's sketch comedy, improv comedy. We were both in a pilot together that you created.
Yeah.
A lot of different things, right?
That's true. Yeah, it's been a decade. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy that...
You're working on Raven's Home right now,
yeah.
As a writer,
mm-hmm.
How's that been?
It's been a lot of fun. It's been very busy, and we have an order of 26 episodes this season, so it's been kind of like a long trek through, just creating this multicam half-hour comedy in front of a live audience.
And so that's been a lot of episodes.
It's a lot of episodes, yeah. A lot of networks don't do that order anymore. I mean, it's kind of like a traditional, like, it's still a big order for, like, a traditional sitcom of, like, the 90s, you know?
But was that the original order, or did they have, like, 13, and then they're like, okay, we're just going to keep going more?
Yeah, normally for a show, you get ordered 13 episodes, and then they order, like, what they call, like, a back eight, which sends you into 21, and then... they'll, you know, order like an extra five is kind of like how it happens. But if it's a super established show like Modern Family, they just kind of get like 22 episodes, sort of like this is our huge kind of behemoth right. comedy. And so we're going to keep going with that. But Raven's Home in particular, the first season did 13 episodes. And then the second season did 21. And then now we're doing 26.
Okay. So that's what Zora is doing currently.
Yeah.
Zora Bikangaga, who I've already introduced, but your last name's so cool, I just like to say it at any opportunity. Bikangaga.
Yeah, there you go. If you see it, it's not that intimidating. I mean, it's completely phonetic, and if you can say Lady Gaga, you can say Bikangaga, the same amount of syllables.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So, young Zora. This is adult Zora. Where did young Zora start out, comedy-wise?
How young?
Yeah, how young?
So I started out doing what I'm doing now, I think, kind of in high school and college. I did, like, a play in high school. I was sort of, like, labeled an athlete. I was decent, like, at basketball. But, you know, I was always interested in, like, plays. So I did, like, this version of Les Miserables with, like, no music and played a guard. I had, like, three lines.
How tall were you in high school?
By the time I was a senior, I was 6'6".
Okay. And are you 6'6 still? You're 6'7? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I'm about 6'6". So.
I always tell people you're 7 feet tall just so I can say my friend Zora, he's 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
And so I can feel that I'm, so I can, it looks like I'm 6'3".
Sure, yeah.
Even though I'm 5'9".
If I'm 7 feet tall, then that definitely
Look at me it. Next to the 7-footer, guys.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I didn't know that it was to up your game, but.
I have so little game, Zora. I need to take every opportunity to hand up my game.
It's called the Zora bump.
Thank you.
The Zora bump. Stand next to me, it's like I don't make you feel short. I just make you think like, oh, well, maybe I'm 7 foot and this person is 6 feet.
That's right. Well, you know what? I didn't know that was a thing, but it totally makes sense.
Yeah.
The Zora bump.
Yeah.
So high school, you did one play. Was that the play that made you think like, I got to do this? Or was it something else?
It was one of those things where, like, I auditioned where I was like, oh, yeah, like, I'll audition for this play. And then not really putting much thought into it, but sort of, like, maybe assuming, like, oh, well, maybe I'll get a bigger part. And then I had, like, three lines and I played a guard. And this kid who I was, like, sort of friends with and knew played Javert. And he had, like, a really big part. And I remember thinking at the time, like, oh, like, that kid played Javert. Like, I could have played Javert. I could have been, you know, sort of a race blind casting of Javert. So, I was kind of like, oh, this was fun. And I kind of wish I had more lines because I had a lot of fun, like, on stage. And so I ended up going to college and I went to this, you know, sort of like, kind of like a Christian school. You know, I didn't go to a Christian school when I was like in high school or middle school, but I ended up going to like this kind of like Christian affiliated college, and they would have like these chapels. And I got somehow recruited or signed up to be on like the chapel drama team, which we did like these basically they were like sketches about, you know, kind of like stories from the Bible, you know, but they were kind of like, you know, dramatized in a funny way.
So it was like humorous takes?
Yeah, like humorous takes. And so for this particular, like the first one that we did was kind of like this, like narrated, you know, version of the creation story, you know, from Genesis. And I played God and I came out with like this leather jacket and I had these cool sunglasses on and I sat on this ladder. And it just got – and as soon as – and people were reading the creation story, kind of like a reader's – I don't know what you call it, like
reader's – Reader's theater.
Yeah, reader's theater kind of style. And we were sort of miming what they were saying kind of in this like drunk history type of way. And as soon as I walked out like in the leather jacket, you know, as God was announced, you know, God created, you know, blah, blah, it got like a huge laugh. And I was like, oh, this is cool.
That was it,
and,
huh?
Yeah, it was it. And then it got huge laughs. And I was like, oh, this is super fun. And so we ended up doing more of that. And then I pulled this prank, which I won't get into too much. But I pulled this prank where I pretended to be an African student from Uganda for 5 minutes. And that turned into an entire semester. And it was sort of like an entire character that I played for a very long time. And I won't bury the lead. I told that story on This American Life, which you
sure.
can check out.
Which is why we won't go into it too deep here, because you can listen to it on This American Life.
Yeah, you can listen to it on This American Life. But that was this insane experience that I thought was going to last for 5 minutes. And it turned into an entire semester. But it was a character that I created. And it was a believable character. It was a character that, you know, was specific to my background. And that kind of grew as I deepened in relationships and friendships, you know, as this person. But at the end of all of that, even though there was, like, a lot of, like, fallout in my relationships, I realized that it was something that I could do. I was like, oh, I can – this is fun. Like, I can act. Like, this is – it was fun to play a character. Maybe I should do this. And then after that, minored in theater.
I think that's one of the things that and I didn't – when we met, I didn't know that you had done this thing. He had this background of, like, pulling, like, an elaborate prank. But you and I share that. We both love to do that.
Yeah,
and I think we
yeah.
sense that in each other. You can tell the people that are, like, into that when you do it. And like you said, you lost – like, some of your relationships were tainted a little bit after that, I guess, right? Uh-huh. Well, then that's probably the people that don't get your sense of humor. You know what I mean?
Sure. There were people that were like that, you know, and again, if you listen to the story – the full story, you know, there were people that I had genuine relationships with, but then there were people that were kind of condescending towards me. And so I kind of like I kind of screwed with them. Can I curse on this podcast?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
I fucked with them. was what I did in a way. Just if they said condescending things to me or maybe ignorant things to me. And those are the people that I didn't end up being friends with because they didn't have a sense of humor about it. But there are people that I'm friends to this day, including my roommate, who I was like in his wedding as like a groomsman. And so, yeah, it significantly, I think, influenced what I ended up doing after that. And so I ended up transferring out of that school, finished my college studies in Seattle and ended up minoring in theater there, working as like a theater actor for like this traveling theater company in Seattle, and then moved to LA like a year later.
Cool.
And that's how I got into it.
So we just had a delightful meal at Steampunk Cafe.
Yeah.
In where is that? Studio City, maybe? North Hollywood?
I think somewhere it's in that area. North Hollywood?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's a place I've gone to a lot. I got the, which is, they call their specialty, the stack, which it really is a lot of stuff. It's, I got it with some sauteed kale and onions because, and that's the healthy part that I got. And then the rest of it's all, you know, not healthy, but delicious. Also, I think there's a fried egg. There was also some a couple chicken strips, which is that weird to eat an egg before and after it's born? No.
And
I ate both.
You ate both, and none came before or after the other.
That's right.
You ate them at the same
time.
And
the chicken fingers had a little maple aioli on it, and there's also a waffle that comes with it. So it's almost like eating – and there's some bacon. So I usually split it up into two meals. I eat the kale and the egg and the chicken fingers together, and then I eat the waffle and the bacon as a separate, you know, almost like a dessert at the
Interesting.
End.
Interesting. I wouldn't know what to eat with the kale.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the eggs mixes pretty good in with it, you know, like you get the yolk in there.
Sure.
And then I got for a drink, I got a Mexican mocha, which I believe is almost like a regular mocha, but there's – the difference I notice in it mostly is it has like cinnamon in it, but it's pretty tasty. And what did you have?
I had avocado toast. With two fried eggs on top.
Nice.
Over medium.
How was that for you?
It was good. I would say, I wouldn't say that it was the best avocado toast that I've had ever, but I say like it's hard to mess up avocado toast.
Yeah.
So I also appreciated that there was paprika.
Yeah. There was a lot of paprika on it.
There was a lot of paprika, which, yeah, was super good. So I feel like I was pleased with my avocado.
It's not just for deviled eggs.
It's not just for deviled eggs. You can put paprika on rice with olive oil.
That's true.
That's like a
solid
choice.
That is pretty tasty. Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought it was good.
We'll talk about that in my other podcast, 101 Uses for Paprika.
Yeah.
Coming soon.
Coming soon to Stitcher Premium. No, I'm kidding.
Would you have anything to drink?
I had coffee. I had an extra dark roast coffee, bottomless, which I appreciated. It was super good.
Nice.
Yeah, I like a dark roast.
Yeah, I like the food there. There's a lot of different options, whether you're looking to go vegan, vegetarian, or meatitarian like me. I love it. I especially, you know, recommend it for someone that's going to go in for a couple hours to get some writing done. There's a lot of really cool, like, local art in there that's very, like, bright art and cool art and like poppy art that stimulates me at least to get some stuff done while I'm there. And they also have plenty of plugins, which some places don't have.
Yeah, yeah. It's cozy. They have a lot of art, and they have like on their kind of like the wall that is kind of like the most visible. It's like this like hunter's green color, which is like a very inviting, like warm color that I think invites people to sort of just chill there.
Thanks for, you know, going to Breakfast with me. That was great.
Of course.
You wrote a pilot called the HOA. You want to tell me a little bit about that experience? I think it's interesting. And for our listeners, you know, it's an example of like something that you start out just like your own personal project and you don't know where it can end up going.
Yeah. So the HOA was based on this condominium building where I worked. It was like one of my survival jobs when I moved to Pasadena. And it was this really dysfunctional homeowners association that sort of ran this condominium building. And I worked as the building manager. And, you know, it was this crazy experience. And so as I was kind of out there auditioning for things and kind of watching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and inspired by the way they kind of grabbed the bull by the horns and kind of wrote their own thing, or at least Rob McElhenney kind of steered that ship, I believe is the story. But at any rate, I was kind of like, oh, well, this could be a pilot that I write myself, that I can write myself into and have, like, my friends play the parts or people that I know that are super funny. And so I wrote this pilot, like, based on these people that I worked for, and the fact that the Homeowners Association was kind of this, like, a small country in and of itself, you know, and had these positions that were, like, warring against each other, and this, like, president that hated the vice president, and it just was all very funny to me.
Well, and anybody you talk to, like, I'm sure you've encountered this, like, when we were going through the whole process, talking about the, you know, mm-hmm. going through the whole thing, anytime you talk to somebody about, like, oh, yeah, there's my friend's doing this pilot about an HOA, anybody who's ever been in an HOA or mm-hmm. known someone in an HOA is always like, oh, I got some stories for you. Oh, that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. It's just ripe with ideas, and it's just one of those things that's – when you say dysfunctional HOA, I mean, most people just say, yeah, that's just part of the definition of HOA. It's they're always dysfunctional.
Yeah, they're always dysfunctional, and it's just this weird thing that is – it's like this little country within itself, and, like, it has, like, this governing body and, like, a constitution and all that, and, like, meetings and so – yeah, and it's relatable to people that who've lived in a homeowners association. So I wrote this pilot. I had no idea how to write a television episode. I think, like, the first draft was just all over the place structurally, and then I ended up getting, like, a scholarship to take these. So UCLA has this thing called the Extension Writers Program, where it's, like, this really great program that teaches television writing and feature film writing, and it's not necessarily connected to their graduate school or their undergrad, but it's just this, like, a professional program with, like, great instructors. So I got a scholarship to take, like, three classes, and I took their, like, television writing track, like, their three television writing classes, and learned how to, like, structure an episode and, you know, how to, like, outline and you know, just how to write an episode. So wrote the HOA, and then I kind of made plans to shoot it myself, and mm-hmm. so I did a Kickstarter campaign, and
yeah.
That's when I started reaching out to people that I knew through sketch comedy.
Sure.
You being one of them.
Yeah.
And
I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, you were kind of, like, part of the initial stages of kind of, like, getting the Kickstarter campaign out there and getting people excited about doing the project, and, like, having some table reads with
right.
Certain actors. And so through that, like, again, if you put something out in the world, you never know what's going to happen. So after I launched the Kickstarter campaign, someone who I think you played softball.
I played softball with her,
softball
yeah.
with.
Anna.
Was starting a production company with a person who was friends with Sherry O'Terry. So it was the loose connection of, like, hey, maybe we can get Sherry O'Terry to play a cameo role in this mm-hmm. this pilot, and we can shoot it in my condominium building. And that was how it started. Sherry got the script. She loved it. She thought it was, like, a really cool world, and she was like, well, if I'm going to be in it, like, I would like to sort of play a bigger part and help you sort of, like, rewrite it and really expand the role.
And you were like, no thanks.
Yeah, quite the opposite. I was like, yes, please. And so, yeah, we started this whole, like, relationship where in, you know, I won't get too much into the details of
yeah.
it, but it was a long process of rewriting.
Well, then you know, partially through other people you knew and partially through Sherry, I mean, you end up being like a cast with a bunch of people that
yeah.
you recognize
yeah.
and know and love, right?
Exactly. So you never know. Like, so through collaborating with you, through collaborating with somebody, just somebody that you knew who mm-hmm. knew somebody
right.
who knew somebody, we were able to get Sherry involved. We rewrote the pilot. She reached out to people that she knew. We ended up getting Horatio Sands to play like the main role. And
Horatio was hilarious.
Yeah,
great.
He was hilarious in it. We got Paula Poundstone.
Legendary 90s comedian.
Yeah, to be in it. I knew her through, actually, I met her at a Groundlings class, at an improv class, because she just takes improv for the hell of it. We got Riley Smith.
Who he and I are often confused for each other. Both
well,
leading man, good looks.
Well, you know, maybe if somebody has a cataract.
Look, if we both have scream masks on,
sure.
Can't tell the difference.
Both,
other than Riley's skinnier and somehow he's still better looking than me when we're both wearing masks. Somehow he's still better looking. I don't know. Guy doesn't age either.
He doesn't age, but you guys are both sports fans, so they're...
That's true. Every year when my alma mater, Nebraska, loses to Iowa, he's just, like, giving it to me.
sure. Yeah, so you guys have the same soul, kindred spirits. So we got him through Sherry, and it just kind of came together in this really cool way, and we got everyone to make this pilot for free. And, you know, if you look at the pilot, it really looks like something that is worthy to be on, like, a network.
Sure.
You know, as far as, like, the polish of it, the look of it. You know, and everyone did it for free because they were so excited to work with everyone who was involved. And from there, we ended up submitting it to the New York Television Festival in 2015. Mm-hmm. It screened there.
That was a fun weekend.
It was super fun. Yeah. It got a great response. Didn't win any awards or anything, but it was great for exposure, and it ended up... You know, getting sort of optioned by this company, and you know, it unfortunately, you know, kind of got caught in development hell, which a lot of projects do. But it was this amazing experience where, since then, you know, I have become really close with Sherry, who ended up being someone who I consider a really good friend now and a mentor, and we just really clicked, you know, and it all came from just putting your stuff out there. Like, you never know what'll happen if you put it out there. And was it the easiest process? No. Did I grow a lot from it? Absolutely. Was it a ton of hard work? 100%. Like, I've never put so much grunt work into a thing. But the benefits of it were just incredible.
Well, and to me, like, the big takeaway, and there's a bunch of takeaways. But the big takeaway is, like you said, if you just write that first draft and you think, like, this doesn't work, and you don't keep pushing forward, none of this ever happens.
Yeah. Right?
If you don't have the courage to be like, I'm going to show this to my friends and get some momentum going, never happens.
Yeah.
Right? So for our listeners out there that, you know, whether you're in college or high school, whatever, and you're starting, or maybe you're in LA and you're just starting to write stuff, a big part of it is just not giving up and keep on working.
Yeah, if you want to do it, and that's kind of the biggest part of it, is that, like, yeah, like, there is luck and fortune involved in these things, but it's a lot of, like, just doing the work until those opportunities come about and putting yourself out there. And I used to hear that when I first moved here, and I was kind of like, yeah, but, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, but, you know, what about so-and-so and this, but it really is. There's nothing more I can't give a more complicated answer other than just putting in the work, you know, and putting yourself out there and just being willing to, like, grow and fail until you succeed.
There is one thing. You have a project coming up called The Wedding Year.
Yeah.
Which is a movie that's coming out.
Yeah.
And I was, I guess, super jealous, you know, when it's like, you're working with Keith David.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Who played my dad.
Come on. Is that everything that I imagined that it was?
Yeah, it was. It was amazing. I mean, it was such a cool, so it's a feature film. It's a movie, a romantic comedy, starring Sarah Hyland and... From Modern Family, who plays Haley on Modern Family, and Tyler James Williams people know him as the kid from Everybody Hates Chris.
Right.
But he's been in a ton of things since then, and I think most recently he was in... God, what was that TV show that was on ABC? That it was like an action comedy. I'm being terrible.
Two Broke Girls.
Yeah, Two Broke Girls. Exactly, Two Broke Girls. But yeah, he's in a ton of stuff, and he's like such
a pro.
Cool.
And he also seems like a guy that might be a little intimidating.
Uh-huh.
Was he intimidating?
He wasn't. No, he was great. I mean, he was. Yeah. Like, okay, so first of all, there were so many amazing people on there that have that are so experienced, including Tyler, including Sarah, including Wanda Sykes, who played.
Oh, is that
my mom?
Wanda Sykes.
Yeah, Wanda Sykes. although I had an actual scene with Keith David, whereas Wanda Sykes played my mother and grandmother, like in the world of the movie, but we didn't necessarily have a scene together. But with Keith David, yeah, he was like super funny. He was, it was one of those things where he wasn't like, you know, you show up to set and it's not like someone's on all the time. Like he's very much a professional actor. So like he shows up and he's like, okay, where do I got to stand? This and that. And then, you know, when the camera's rolling, like he turns it on and he was just hilarious. Like every take, he was so funny. And, you know, we had a very short scene together, which I don't know is going to be in like the final product because it was kind of like an added scene. But he was like so funny. Like he's the funniest. And the weird thing was I was looking at him and he almost looks like my dad. If you were to look at him from like, you know, the back of his head, almost looks like my father. So it's good casting on their part. But yeah, it was amazing. And same thing with Wanda Sykes. Like she showed up. She wasn't like sitting there doing bits. But she showed up. She's like, okay, where are my lines? What do I got to say? How's the scene going to go? And then when the camera was rolling, she was on. And she was Wanda Sykes. And she was hysterical. And she actually plays my grandmother in costume as well. So, like, it's a scene where, you know, Sarah's meeting Sarah's character. Mara's playing. She's meeting her love interest, the family. Basically, because okay. I play her love interest brother. And so she's meeting, like, our family and going from table to table, meeting the dad, meeting the mom, and then she gets to the grandmother's table, and it's Wanda Sykes, like, in costume playing the grandmother and the mom.
Oh,
it's fantastic.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. I'm looking forward to that coming out. That's later this year, maybe?
Yeah, it's going to come out in late September, I believe, in theaters, and then from there, I'm not quite sure where it's going to land as far as you know, the streaming, mm-hmm. but it'll be on streaming, I believe, somewhere. But I know that it drops in theaters in September, late September.
Okay,
yeah,
cool. Anything else coming out that you want to plug before we get out of here? I know I'm a big fan of your, and I've been on your podcast, Dope Town.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it Dope Town 5000?
Dopetown 3000.
Dopetown 3000.
And I also want to clarify Tyler James Williams' show that he was recently on. It was Whiskey Cavalier.
I remember Whiskey Cavalier.
Yeah, Whiskey Cavalier okay. was the show. I just want to make sure that I, you know, properly.
So it was not two. Look, I was sure it was Two Broke Girls.
Yeah. It was not Two Broke Girls. No shade to Two Broke Girls because, you know, no shade.
Oh, no, I like that show.
Yeah.
It's a Whitney Cummings show.
Yeah. Beth Beers. She's great. Mm-hmm. So, I have a podcast called Dopetown 3000. It's on all of the podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, all that stuff. And yeah, we're out there in those streets, and it's a freestyle rap improv podcast where we turn people's stories into a hip hop musical similar to Hamilton, but it's improvised.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the Brent Pope on there.
That's right. I talked about Running with the Bulls. So you can go back, listen to Dopetown 3000, the Brent Pope episode, or any of the episodes, really, but specifically to feed my ego, guys. Just say that you listened to mine. I don't know.
It was a great episode. Yeah, I liked it. It was about you running with the Bulls.
Yeah.
For your honeymoon.
On my honeymoon.
Yeah.
One more question before we get out of here, Zora. One day, there's going to be a movie titled something like The Zora Beat Kangaga Story. Who would you like to play Zora Beak and Gaga?
Me.
Somebody other than you.
Because
you obviously would be great at playing you.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the only person that I can think of, and this sounds maybe a little silly, would be Nick Cannon.
Nick Cannon.
Nick Cannon.
I could actually see that.
Yeah.
Sure. Thanks for coming in, man.
Of course. This is
awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. Glad to be here.
If you would like to interact more with both myself and the show and see behind-the-scenes items such as pics of Zora Beacongaga and I having breakfast at Steampunk Cafe, there are several places you can go. You can follow the Breakfast Instagram account at Breakfast Podcast, and you can follow my personal Instagram and Twitter accounts at Scoops Pope. My website can be found at BrentPope.com. You can also follow my Facebook actor page. And before we get out of here, I want to talk to you about a very special sponsor of the show, the Who Would Win podcast. Who Would Win is a geek and comedy podcast every week that debates a fictional battle between heroes and villains from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. Hosted by James Gavsey and his Robin, Ray Stecanus. Who Would Win? You could have any kind of battle. You might have Thanos versus Goku. That was the actual show. You could listen to that. You could have Michael Myers from Halloween versus Scooby-Doo. That was an actual show, and they're both amazing. Now, are all these just words because they're my sponsor? No. In fact, not only do I recommend the Who Would Win podcast for all my nerd and geek battle needs, I've actually appeared on the show as a guest moderator not one, not two, but three times, and I'm so excited to announce that I will be a guest host in the live version of Who Would Win Saturday, August 31st at the Long Beach Comic Con. What? That's right. So listen to Who Would Win at all the places where podcasts can be found and buy tickets for the live show at the Long Beach Comic Con Saturday, August 1st. More details on the time of the show to come very soon on my social media. Thank you so much for listening. I've been your host, Brent Pope, and that's another episode of Breakfast in the Old To-Go Bag. See ya.